It was in the afternoon when the companions left the second story of the tavern and went to check their horses. There wasn't a cloud in the sky, and the sizzling streets were almost entirely deserted. A panting dog lay in the shade under an empty wheelbarrow. A few feet away, a cat was doing the exact same thing under a shovel propped against the wall. Sitting near the Ville Well, an old man was wearing a wide stray hat, the ragged ends fluttering like feelers in the breeze. Directly overhead, the wooden covering above the well was offering no shade, but the old man was small enough to hide in the shadow beneath his woven hat. Dripping sweat, another man was stitching together a pair of snakeskin moccasins, his hands moving with the stately grace of performing a task that he had accomplished 1,000 times before. Mildred shielded her face with a raised hand.
"Morning, sir."
The man looked up from his work and grinned, displaying a lot of missing teeth. Then he went back to the task, the needle rising and falling in an endless rhythm.
"It's been a long time since we haven't seen any clouds."
Christy rubbed the bandage on her left cheek. The wound was nearly healed and itching badly.
"It's nice not to worry about acid rain for once."
J.B. removed his fedora to straighten the brim and then placed it back again. The harsh sunlight glinted off his glasses, casting a rainbow on his face.
"Come on, let's get moving. The horses come first, then we hit the tavern for some breakfast."
"Lunch."
"Whatever."
Jack glanced at the animal under the wheelbarrow.
"Huh. I guess that's a dog."
"Hot dog."
Doc mopped the back of his neck with his stained linen handkerchief.
"There is no reason for us to eat the local cuisine. We have plenty of MRE packs left."
"We have to save those for the trip back to Tucson. After we find those bastard cold hearts and figure out why they want you and me so badly."
Frowning pensively, Doc started to speak, but stopped. Instantly, the companion shifted their position into a defensive formation, just as Chief Bateman arrived with a squad of armed sect men.
"Morning."
Keeping his expression neutral, Ryan nodded in reply. Something was wrong. The sect men had stopped just out of reach to shake hands, the perfect distance for a blaster fight. Yesterday, the locals had greeted the companions with open arms. Today, they seemed itching for a chance to unleash some lead. Their faces were hard, and every hand stayed near a weapon. Whatever had occurred in the past few hours, it seemed clear that the companions had somehow worn out their welcome.
"How was the grub at the tavern?"
In spite of what the Baron had said, Bateman had some difficulty believing that these people were a threat to the Ville. If so, Harmond would have seen it before this. No, there had to be something else happening, and these folks were just a part of it, but not the center of the brewing storm.
"Haven't eaten yet. Wanted to check the horses first."
"Fair enough. Well, we're going that way. Keep you company."
Under guard was more like it, Ryan realized, as the combined group started walking along the street. What the hell was going on here?
"So, hot enough for you?"
"It's not the heat. It's the humanity."
"Huh? Now what's that supposed to mean?"
"Just a bit of simplistic jocularity. Nothing more. Merely a touch of jocundity. A sprightly jape."
"Yeah, sure. I knew that."
"You'll get us all killed showing off like that, you old coot. There's still places in the world where smart equals dead."
"Really now, madam? Just because I once read a dictionary..."
"You got what in the airy?"
"I can't believe we're laughing at something so stupid."
Mildred noticed that the sectmen were relaxing some after the friendly banter. She guessed it was difficult to be suspicious of folks who were joking and laughing. Glancing sideways, the physician saw that Doc and Jack were studiously not looking at each other, and realized the exchange had been deliberately staged. Smart. Passing through a courtyard dotted with the shade from woven awnings, the companion saw it was filled with exhausted people fanning themselves, sipping gourds of water, and trying very hard not to move. The exhausted people smiled and waved as the companions and the sect men passed. Their actions meant they didn't know what was going on, Ryan rationalized. So it was only the sect men who were worried, which translated that the Baron had done something or said something that made the guards nervous. But not enough for them to come charging in with blasters firing.
"How's the Baron?"
Christy was obviously following a similar train of thought. She had her shirt unbuttoned about halfway, from the stifling heat of the desert sun, and the swell of her breasts glistened with beads of sweat.
"He's sleeping, thank the gods."
Bateman spread the lapels of his own shirt collar. There were more tattoos under his clothing, some of them quite lewd.
"And we have standing orders never to disturb him when he's doing something as important as that." Heaven knows Baron Harmon gets little enough sack time as it is. What with all of those headaches and stuff.
Didn't the aspirins help?
Hell's bells, yes, but...
Excuse me, healer.
An old woman hurried toward the group from an alleyway between two tall buildings. The Sekhmen and the companions both stopped to meet the old woman. Only Bateman and Ryan checked behind to see if this was a diversion to make them look in the wrong direction. But the alleyway across the street was clear. Nobody was hiding behind the water trough or hitching post. However, the two men caught each other doing the wreck and shared a smile. Then the moment passed and the unease returned, like a cold wind in the night.
Please, can you help me?
The woman rocked a bundle of rags in her arms. The collection of cloth wriggled.
Shh, darling. It's all right.
Mildred could see now that the woman wasn't really old, just worn down from a hard life.
What's wrong with your child?
The sun was blistering and she was starving, but this was her calling, the reason behind everything she did. Healer. The word meant so much more these days than the title of doctor.
I heard what you did for the Baron. Blessings be on you for that.
Thank you.
And get on with it, Lucinda.
The woman recoiled slightly at the outburst, then summoned her courage and rallied once more.
Can you fix my little one?
Mildred extended a hand.
Show me.
But Bateman stepped between them and pulled back the blanket to scowl at the baby inside. The sec chief then flicked the blanket back over the infant to take it from his sight.
Shit fire, Lucinda. You whelped another damn mutie. Curse your guts. You know this was supposed to be chilled at birth?
The sec man had moved quickly to hide the offense, but Mildred had seen enough.
Good God, sir. Its lip is merely a bit malformed. It's not a mutant. That's just a hair lip. Nothing more. It's trivial.
Maybe, but it's not a norm. So the mother is supposed to ace it, or the father. Know who the father is this time, Lucinda?
The woman said nothing, and looked uncomfortably at the brick street below her tattered sneakers.
Yeah, I thought as much. Stop wasting our time and bash in its mutie head.
Mildred stepped between the sick man and the weeping mother.
It is not a mutation, Chief, and I won't allow you to harm a child.
Bateman glowered at the healer, his jaw working on the matter. Suddenly, another sick man lashed out with a long blaster. The wooden stock hit Mildred in the mouth, and she toppled to the bricks with blood on her face.
Obey the Chief!
He reversed the long blaster and worked the bolt to chamber around. Sputtering in rage, JB started to charge, but Ryan drew his Sig Sauer.
Freeze, asshole!
Ryan's Sig Sauer was shot out of his hands and went flying to land yards away.
Nobody move!
Bateman gestured with his smoking revolver.
Back off, Ryan. This is not your concern.
Suddenly alert, Jack made a gesture and a knife dropped into his palm. But Doc moved first by simply dropping his ebony stick. As it hit the street, everybody flicked their eyes that way, and when the sec men looked back, Ryan was pulling the pin from a grin. The sec chief looked stunned as Ryan flipped it away, and the pin hit the ground.
Your move.
Grimly, Bateman leveled his gun as the rest of the companions drew weapons, and the sec men brought up their assortment of crossbows and scatterguns. In the background, Lucinda slipped away from the heavily armed people.
This thing is a mutie! Who gives a fuck if it lives?
Was this what the Baron had foreseen? Was this the betrayal?
We do.
And your guy started this, not us.
Bullshit! Why?
Sir, it's true. Roe did strike the healer first.
Sekhman Harper came into view, a black powder revolver tight in his fist. Though the teen's blaster was rock steady, the hammer wasn't cocked, and the barrel wasn't noticeably pointing anywhere near the companions. If anything, it was closer to Roe, who was sweating profusely. His long blaster was still pointed at Mildred, but her Czech ZKR target pistol was aimed right back at him, her finger already putting pressure on the trigger. A long minute passed with nobody moving or talking, the tension in the air thick enough to patch a breached Ville wall.
Yeah, so he did.
Bateman seemed almost disappointed. Slowly, he eased down the hammer on his gun.
Must be this fucking heat. This time of day, the sun can fry a man's brain. Makes folks do all sorts of stoop stuff. You gotta stay inside when there are no clouds. Just too damn hot.
Scowling, Ryan said nothing, the grin tight in his fist. Bateman holstered his blaster.
All right, stand down, boys. Put those hog legs away.
Relaxing their postures, the sec men did as they were ordered, and the companions lowered their own weapons. After a few seconds, Ryan knelt to get the pin, carefully disarmed the Gren, and tucked it into a pocket once more. Everybody sighed in relief at the sight of that.
As for Ro, you're on shitter duty for a week. Get going and start digging.
But sir!
Move it, Phoebe, or I'll make that 50 lashes and an entire moon digging new holes for the shitters.
Going pale, the sick man hurriedly tucked his blaster into a holster, almost dropping it in the process.
Well done, sir.
Complacently, Bateman gave a shrug. Everybody screwed up now and then. The trick was learning how to keep sucking air afterward. Going after his gun, Ryan found the Sig Sauer alongside an adobe wall. The soft lead ball from the black powder blaster had not done any damage to the steel frame of the pre-dark autoloader, aside from leaving a small gray streak where it ricocheted off. Working the slide a few times to check the action, Ryan tucked the pistol away when he was satisfied that it was in working condition. Privately, he was impressed and annoyed. Nobody had ever outdrawn him before. It was a disturbing event. It was the wound in his arm that was still slowing him down. If things ever went bad in the Ville, Ryan couldn't take a chance facing down the sec chief in a fair fight. He'd have to kill the big man on sight, hopefully from a distance. Even better, in the back. Bateman removed his hat to wipe down the inside, then tucked it back into place once more.
Okay, healer, go fix the brat. If you can, that is. We'll wait.
Correct a hair lip on a street corner? Mildred held up a restraining hand.
Whoa there, Chief. I can do the surgery, but not until the baby is older.
Fair enough. How much older? A couple weeks?
A couple winters is more like it. Maybe more.
More?
Christy suddenly closed her eyes.
Don't concern yourself with this anymore. The matter has been closed.
What the fucking hell does that mean?
Oh, no.
Feeling as if the world were slowing down, Mildred turned to see Lucinda kneeling alongside the water trough. Her hands were dripping wet, and the bundle of rags was nowhere in sight.
Sweet Jesus!
Mildred rushed to the horse trough, pushing Lucinda aside. The physician saw the cloth bundle lying unnaturally still on the bottom, a tiny pink fist showing from within the soaked cloth. Mildred yanked the swaddling mass out of the shallow water and tore the cloth apart, exposing the still form of the dead child. She started to begin CPR, but realized it was too late.
You heartless bitch!
She was barely able to control her emotions as she folded the blanket over the tiny corpse. Jerking her head up, the physician stared in feral hatred at the frightened woman.
Why? Why in the name of God did you chill your own child?
But he said to...
Lucinda pointed a trembling finger at the crowd of armed people standing in the sunny street.
Idiot! No decision had been made yet.
Confused and terrified, Lucinda raised her hands as if in prayer.
Forgive me, sir. I only wanted to obey the law.
Liar! You only wanted to escape from being punished for breaking the law and not chilling it in the first place.
Sir, I...
Silence! I should send you to the post for this. Since you took a life, you owe a life.
Sir?
You there, healer, the one called Mildred.
Yeah?
Every emotion seemed to have drained out of the physician. She wasn't angry anymore, or sickened, or anything. Mildred just felt numb, as if something had died inside her, along with the baby.
This woman is now your property. Do with her as you please.
Caught by surprise, Doc scowled at the pronouncement, as if not sure that he had heard it correctly.
Eh? What was that again, sir?
I thought there were no slaves in this Ville.
There aren't. This is a punishment detail. The healer can do anything she likes to the gaudy slut.
A rose by any other name, sir!
Stuff a sock in it, Doc. Okay, just to make sure that I have this right. Lucinda is mine. I have total control.
Within reason.
Meaning what?
Mildred can't chill her, or make her act against the Baron or the Ville.
Okay, it's a deal.
Standing erect, Mildred offered a hand to Lucinda and hauled the woman to her feet.
Then go home. I set you free.
Lucinda threw off the helping hand, as if it were covered with suckers.
Now, just wait a tick.
But Ryan and JB got in the way, and the sec chief stopped uneasily, not sure of what to do. The companions and the sec men started glaring at each other again, and it was clear that a confrontation was only heartbeats away from erupting into bloodshed.
Well, Chief, is she mine or not?
She is yours. Although why you would do such a thing, I have no idea.
I doubt you would.
Picking up the soggy bundle of rags, She thrust it back at the startled woman.
Here. Go home and bury your son properly. You've suffered enough today. I set you free.
Hesitantly accepting the bundle, Lucinda ran away to disappear around a corner.
Poor thing. Maybe she'll feel better tomorrow.
Bateman viewed the water trough in stern disapproval.
She'll be on the last train west by tomorrow. Come on, let's see to those horses.
The last train You think she'll kill herself?
Mildred took a step after the fleeing woman.
Maybe I can help.
You've already done enough. More than enough. You didn't mean to, but that's no help now. Let her buy the farm in peace.
The mercy of Gaia upon her soul.
Doc bowed his head.
Amen.
Totally confused, Mildred looked around.
But...
A dark-skinned sect man used a forearm to wipe the sweat from his face.
You shamed her publicly. It was bad enough she gave birth to a mutie. That happens sometimes. But then a wrist refused to even have her as a slave? That was too much for anybody to stomach.
And you think that she'll... But I didn't want a slave. You of all the people here should understand that.
Puzzled, the sec man extended an arm to show there were no scars on his wrist.
Why is that? I've never worn iron.
As the others started to walk away, Mildred opened her mouth to try to explain, but then saw the hopelessness of the situation. How could she possibly explain the 18th century slave trade to a free black man born in the Deathlands? Nobody treated blacks like second-class citizens anyway. Racism had died in the Nuke War. Yet ironically, Mildred felt that some small part of her heritage was also gone forever, and she wasn't quite sure how to feel about that yet. People were just people these days. Most folks didn't care about skin color or religion. Only muties were despised and shot on sight.
Better get moving, or they'll be serving dinner by the time we're done with the horses.
A sec man stooped over to retrieve the single brass shell lying on the street, leaving nothing behind but an emptiness in the air and a few damp spots on the ground that were already drying from the searing rays of the relentless sun. Soon there wouldn't be any signs of the event.
Damn, it's hot today.
Ryan didn't reply, but kept a hand near his blaster until the stables came into view.